Welcome. It's good to be up here with you all again. They let me back up again, so I don't know why, but they did. So it's good to be up here with you all. Let's go ahead, and I want you all to turn to James 4. Xavier, if you want to come on up. I'm just going to have Xavier read our passage of the day. It's going to be James 4, 1 through 10. He's got a little bit more gravitas than I do, so.
James 4, 1 through 10. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Yet lust and not have ye, and have not, ye kill, and ye and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war. Yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, and let your joy into heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up.
Thanks, Xavier. All right, let's just open up in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you again, Lord, I just pray that my words might not be my own, but they might be yours, and that you may bless them, and whatever is not from you, that it might be forgotten, and that we might be able to learn something today, Lord, and that we might be able to, again, just have a better understanding of your word and of you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so a little context behind the message here. There's always that struggle in trying to figure out what to speak on. But basically, it was a Friday a few months ago, and I came home, and as the per usual, Taylan asked me what the matter was. And per usual, I sat there and I said, nothing's wrong, when obviously she knows me very well. She knows that something was wrong. So then probably a few hours later, I forget exactly what I was doing. I think it was lifting weights or something. I forget what it was. I let out a big sigh, and she goes, okay, what's actually wrong? I'm like, it's nothing. It's nothing. Don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. Then my wife, being the very kind person that she is, she's like, oh, I want to know about it because she cares for some reason. I don't know why. But basically, we started talking about it, and I said, I'm just really depressed about this particular issue, this particular thing. And she looked at me and she goes, you know, have you tried praying? And honestly, still kind of ashamed of the answer that I gave, but I told her, you know, I'm scared of praying because I'm worried that it's not going to be the outcome that I want. And immediately, it's one of those things where you said it, and I even now kick myself for saying that. But I immediately started praying. And that was kind of the thought that I had that was kind of part of this message. But then I heard a song a few days later, and it was kind of another kind of kick, and it kind of just made me realize again how stupid that thought process was. But if you guys know the band Casting Crowns, okay, if you grew up in the 2000s, you probably listened to them. I'm older. So I know them. I know some of you youngins who grew up in the 2010s might not have known them. But there's a song that they sing, and it says, Caught in the Middle. All right, and the song's called Caught in the Middle. And the chorus is one that I really like. And honestly, when I heard it, it really kind of hit me right between the eyes. But the chorus goes like this. Just how close can I get, Lord, to my surrender without losing all control? Fearless warriors in a picket fence, reckless abandon wrapped in common sense. Deep water faith in the shallow end, and are we caught in the middle? With eyes wide open to the differences, the God we want and the God who is, but will we trade our dreams for his, or are we caught in the middle? And that final portion there was the thing that kind of hit me. You know, will we trade our dreams for his? Will I trade my dreams for my Lord's? And, you know, in that conversation with Taylin, I repeatedly said, this is what I want. This is what I want. This is what I would like to see happen. This is what I wanted, and it's not. And it's not where I wanted it to be, or it's not what I wanted to have happen. And all of that, I was angry. I was depressed. I was frustrated. And when I heard that song and I thought that and I realized I hadn't prayed because I probably have a good idea of what the Lord's response is going to be, but maybe not. Who knows? I'm not God. But I knew that prayer was going to be the thing that decided it, right? And I was scared of the response. And again, the question that I would pose here as we go through this is, are we willing to put our dreams aside for the dreams of our Lord? And that's a tough question, right? That's a tough thing to ask because dreams are dreams. Dreams are something that we want. Dreams are something that, you know, you stay up all night thinking about and like, this is something that I would really like to achieve or I'd like to do. And, you know, it can be hard to put those aside when the Lord might have something else in store for us or some other plan. And he definitely has plans for us, you know, and that got me thinking, what are the plans that I've put in place that aren't of the Lord? What are the plans that I have that aren't his? You know, Proverbs 3, 5 through 8 says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. He has a direction for our life. If you're a believer here, then he has a path for you that he desires you to take. And that's an important thing. So really it comes down to three decisions when it comes to our dreams or our paths, if you want to refer to that. You have one decision, which is to chase your fleshly desires and chase your fleshly dreams. You can chase your Heavenly Father's dreams. You can follow after the Lord's plan and what he has for you. Or you can try and be caught in the middle, as that song says. You can try and please both the world and God and try and kind of ride that line a little bit in terms of your dreams. And I think that's where a lot of Christians are today. I think a lot of myself included, we can sit there and we can have these worldly desires and these worldly dreams of things that we want to try and achieve, yet so often the path that the Lord has is over here. And we try to bridge the gap, and we try to ride that line, and it doesn't go well. It doesn't go well. So first things first is, again, we have to ask ourselves, are we saved? You know, and that's hopefully everybody here is. That's the first course of this, because if you're not saved, then all you are going to do is try and fulfill those fleshly dreams. That's all you're going to try and do. That's all you can do. You're locked in to fulfilling those dreams. There's nothing that you can do that's going to help you to not fill those things. You might have good morals and everything else, but ultimately, at the end of the day, the flesh wants what the flesh wants and is going to get what it wants. If you are saved, which hopefully everybody here is, if you're here, I hope so. If you are saved, you know, again, we have a choice to make. We have a choice to either fulfill our Father's will or fulfill our fleshly desires. And that's a choice that we have to make every second of every day as we live this life. And ultimately, you know, I've already mentioned it, there's two natures inside of us. Two natures, and that's where those dreams come from. That's where those plans in our life come from. Is the plans of the flesh and the plans of this world, or the plans of the flesh that fit into this world, and the plans of our Lord that will guide us and direct us. Paul addresses this. He addresses this kind of gap that's there in us, in all believers. Because there is most definitely the Spirit now inside of us, but there is also still that sin nature and that desire, that flesh there still. Romans 7:15 says, "For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. For now, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, there that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I find, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. If I find then a law that evil is present within with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So you have Paul basically here confirming and identifying that there are, again, two kind of warring forces inside of him. The warring force of the Spirit, who desires to have him to go chase after the things of the Lord, and the warring spirit of the flesh, who desires and still trips him up and causes him to sin. And so in that, you know, Paul even struggled with those two warring forces. Paul of all people. And if Paul struggles with that, then how much more are we going to struggle with that? Not saying that Paul was any more saved than any one of us, but still, Paul wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. Paul is a giant of the faith. And so that's where, again, those two things, those two warring forces comes from, the plans of the flesh and the plans of the Spirit. And that really is the reason as to why we tend to, as that song would say, kind of stand in the middle, stand in a position where we're caught between both the Lord and the flesh. Because really, our flesh is trained from the very beginning to sin. Right, even as a small child, their first the first word no, right? They always learn that one first. Or somebody or something hits them, what's their first inclination? They strike out against it, that thing that hit them. And that's our natural inclination, is to sin. And those natural bents and those natural things are what lead us to make plans and make desires and everything else for our life. And we get led into certain directions. And make no mistake that even as a believer, those desires are still there. Those plans are still there. And so in having both of those, you end up trying to make both happy. And I'll be honest with you, you cannot make both the spirit and the flesh happy. All right, one will starve, or either one will be happy and one will starve, or both will go hungry. The Lord addresses this as well in Matthew 6. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. In that passage, he was speaking of money, but that can also be applied to many other things in our life. You cannot have a sinful lifestyle in some parts of your life, but then also serve God in another. It doesn't compute. Your body, the spirit, will not allow it. It is not possible to do. You will end up quenching the spirit in one way or another. And ultimately, what I found is it just leads to making you depressed. Ends up leading to a depression. And because inevitably, like Paul said, there's something that you want to do, whether it be for the flesh or the spirit, and you don't end up doing it. And you deny that side enough to where you have been trying to please it. It ends up in a battle, in a either anger or depression or something in that fact, in that way. But yet, as Christians, so often we try to ride that middle line. We try to feed both fleshes, or both spirits, per se. And it doesn't go well. We fool ourselves into believing that we can do it. We think that we can somehow live both a life that fits into this world, that we don't get mocked or we don't stand out in any way, that we can still enjoy the things of this world, yet also somehow still fit into the Christian box. And we keep the Lord at that arm's reach. And that beginning of the chorus is, Lord, how close can I get to my surrender without losing all control? And that's really the thing we want to avoid, right? We still want to have that control of our own life so that why? We don't have to be completely off towards the spirit side because we still have that flesh in us that we want to be able to do what we want to do. And unfortunately, I've seen a lot of people who end up riding that line. I've seen a lot of people who ended up riding that line of, I'm not going to fully commit to the Lord over here. I'm not going to fully commit to him here. And what ends up happening is when you ride that line long enough, you end up choosing a side whether you like it or not. And 9 times out of 10, that side's not the Lord. It's the world. And you end up falling away. And I've seen a lot of friends, kids I grew up with, have that happen too. Older gentlemen that I thought were good believers of the faith kind of rode that line, and they're no longer here with us. They chose something else. They did not choose the Lord to follow after him. And we make mental gymnastics. We do mental pretzels to try and make things of the world seem like we're following after the Lord, right? I can think of many, many examples, but there's often times we'll sit there and say, you know, this thing's really not that bad. It's really not that bad. I'm doing this because I'm going to be a witness to these people that I'm doing over here. When in actuality, why are we doing that? We're doing that because we want to be the ones doing it too. We want to fit in. We want to be those people over there. And I don't say this from a position of pride or judgment, and because I still have things. Heck, I mean, I just had the moment with Taylin there where I was really struggling and obviously serving the Lord. It was a struggle. It is a struggle for me. And so it's a struggle every day. And it's very hard to deal with that. And it's, I still have the flesh inside me. I still have the flesh inside me and issues that I deal with. It's not good. But that being said, it's one of these things where we need to wake up every morning and we need to choose the Lord. We need to follow after him. And so looking in James chapter 4, it says, these things come from the Lord, or come from the Spirit within, and they control us, and 1 sec. Verse 3, you ask not and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, ye know that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And so we try to be friends with the flesh, and we try to be friends with the world. And I am guilty of this just as much as anybody else. And it ends up that we, befriending them, we end up in a position of opposition to the Lord. And it's one that is not a great spot to be. I don't want to be at war with the Lord. I don't want to be in that spot. I don't think anybody wants to necessarily be in that position. And verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? And that is basically, essentially saying that we are part of the Lord, right? As a believer, we put ourselves and align ourselves with the Lord. Yet, what happens a lot of the time is we commit a form of adultery, a spiritual adultery, to where we leave him and we head towards the world and we go after him there. And it is a form of spiritual adultery as to where we've committed ourselves to the Lord as believers, yet we're not actually following after him. And it's important not to do that. It's important to be faithful to him. And I think the other part of it that always also gets me is the fact that, you know, there's a belief that if you follow after the Lord, it's not going to be fun for you. It's not going to be something that you're actually going to enjoy. And, you know, again, back to that conversation I had with Taylin, you know, that is definitely a fear sometimes that I think we can have. And there was a quote that I found that basically said, you know, that's the same lie that the devil has been feeding since the beginning of time, that life was somehow going to be better without the Lord, outside of the way that he designed it. From the very beginning, he told Adam and Eve that, you know, the Lord really didn't say this. He was tricking them. He was trying to get them outside of the Lord's design. And from since that time, humanity has been trying to kind of go around the Lord's way and kind of trying to mix in between it. And again, ride that line. And it hasn't always worked out. It hasn't ever worked out. And that's caused a lot of issues, a lot of pain, a lot of heartache. And I think that is something that we need to be, again, aware of. Satan passes it off like we're doing something that is, it's not terrible, but it's not exactly what the Lord told us to do. And yet, it always causes us to have that issue. It always causes problems. It always causes sin. It appeases the flesh. There is a way that the Lord has put down that is important, that is purposeful, and that we need to follow after. And I think a lot of people in their own hearts tend to try and create their own happiness because they don't want to lose that control. They don't want to they want to please the flesh without realizing that the Lord has something better in mind. And so what does walking the line look like? I don't know. I know some things. You can ask me later. I'm sure I can tell you if you're doing that or not. No, that's a joke. But seriously, pray about it is really the thing. Pray about whether or not you feel like you are walking that line. Ask the Lord to bring out things that you are doing secretly to plan for the flesh and give occasion to the flesh and leave those dreams available and ask him to put down and give you a heart, a desire to serve him, to lay down a path and desires to follow after the Spirit, follow after the Lord in that sense. And that's really what I would recommend doing. We all have our own personal biases. We all have our own things that we want to do. And, you know, your personal beliefs and biases might be slightly different from mine. But seriously, pray about it. See what the Lord pulls out of your life and shows. Just again, ask him daily, even. So then, what do spiritual dreams look like? And all I can tell you is that, you know, follow after what is in the Bible. If you're making plans and you're going forward in your life and you're making dreams that don't align with Scripture or don't align with godly people in your life, then perhaps give it a second thought. Perhaps reset those plans. Perhaps don't progress with them. You know, I think of my father, who oftentimes would have no problem telling me, no, this is not a great way for you to go. This is not something that you should be doing. These are not people who you should be hanging out with or who you should be like. And he did that up until the day he died. And he had no problem kind of grabbing me by the scruff of the neck. And, you know, I remember one time thinking, like, you know, I'm older now. Like, I got this. I know that what's right, what's up, what's wrong. Don't hang out with these people. Don't do this thing. Like, they're not that bad. It's okay. And looking back on it, and I look at where these people's lives are now, to what he was telling me, by golly, he was right. He was right. And I wish he was still here so I could tell him that. But I miss it. I do miss that ability to have somebody to sit there, and somebody like my father, to tell me that those plans or those people or those things aren't great. And in a sense, we have that with our spiritual father. We have the Holy Spirit in us, okay? We have that kind of red alert button to where something doesn't feel right. This thing is not great. These people are not great. Stay away from that. These plans that you're putting down are going to lead to ruin. and they're not going to necessarily, they might make you happy in the moment, but they'll leave you empty and they will not satisfy. And again, another example and perfect example of kind of waiting on the Lord and waiting in his ways for his plans and doing it what I feel was the right way, but I'm going to say that now. But honestly, you know, growing up, there was not a whole lot of options here in terms of dating in Springbrook. It was pretty much, I think the only female was Katie and Becca. And so that wasn't really going to work out in terms of, like, having a relationship or anything. So that being said, there were also other options, though, at school. There were other female options for me that I could have dated and I could have went with. But you wait. And you wait, because why? You want to try and find somebody who aligns with your beliefs. You want to try and find somebody who aligns with what you wanted. I'm getting to a point, don't worry. But eventually, COVID happened, and I was blessed with Taylin, right? And it was a blessing, yes, don't give me that look. But I was blessed with Taylin, and honestly, you know, I couldn't be happier having waited for the right person. And I get it, it's only been 2.5 years, just wait, you know, sort of thing and everything. But she is wonderful, and she has been a blessing in everything that I've ever desired. And, you know, today's world is, quite frankly, all about sex, all about hooking up, all about getting that now, all right? Instant gratification. And yet, and having waited, the Lord blessed me with something that I couldn't have imagined. I didn't think I was going to get. And so that's just one example of following after the Lord's plan and laying down a plan that, you know what, the Bible says to do this, to find a mate that believes on the Lord and believes the same as you do. Do not be unequally yoked with that mate. And if you follow that and if you honor that, he will honor you. Maybe he won't. Maybe his desire is for you to be single. I don't know. But a lot of the times, in other areas as well, though, he will honor that in many, many different spots. And finally, I truly believe that in following after the Lord, we don't have a large grasp of how much he's going to bless us in eternity. I'm not sitting here telling you that if you do everything to the T, to what the Bible tells you, that it's going to be sunshine and rainbows here on earth. It's the prosperity gospel. It's not true, okay? Even the apostles and the strongest saints had evils happen to them trying to follow the Lord. There will be persecution. But in those moments, take heart in the fact that those plans that you're following, the things of the Lord that you're following, you're putting up crowns in heaven, and you're putting up jewels in heaven, and there is going to be a benefit to that later on in life. This world is short. It is very, very quick, and it's very fast. It feels like just yesterday I was Mercy, honestly. It feels like yesterday I was Mercy, and I was running down to Sunday school, and I can remember it clear as day, and now it's like, holy cow, that happened fast. So here we are yet again with the thing of just time happens so quickly, and it's so important to lay up those treasures in heaven and to honor your Lord. If we turn to James 1:25, just a few pages over. James 1:25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed indeed. And again, it's one of those statements and one of those verses as to where if we follow after him with our works and with our paths, then he will bless us, if not in this life, then in eternity. And then we can also go to Colossians 3:23-24. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that the Lord, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of your inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Jesus Christ." We have an inheritance up in heaven that is going to befit kings, befit royalty, and one that we cannot really comprehend, one that we can't grasp. And so it's just so important that we do, as James said, humble ourselves. Humble yourself before the Lord. You need to realize that despite what you think, despite the fact that you might be able to do great things in this life, you might have be very intelligent, you might have a large intellect, the Lord still is better than you. The Lord still has a better idea of what's going to happen than you. And it's an arrogance to sit there and say that we can try and, you know, live on both with him on the left and the world on the right in this co-union. It's not. You can't do that. These plans that you try to lay down, you try to play the earth's game with Christ's rules, it doesn't work. It's not going to work. Realize again and humble yourself before him that, he's smarter than you. He's smarter than you, and ultimately, he loves you. He sent his son to the earth to die for you. And, we need to have faith, and we need to rest in that fact. So let's just close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this day. And I thank you for the fact that, despite the fact that we are prideful people, Lord, and people who constantly turn away from you and try to kind of walk a line, Lord, that you still love us and you still continually let us come back to you. We just thank you for it, Lord, and we praise you for it. And most importantly, Lord, we just thank you for the gift of your Son, Lord, dying on the cross for our sins, that we might be able to have salvation. And Lord, I just pray that we draw closer to you and that, as that song says, that we put down our dreams, and pick up your dreams, Lord, for our life and what you have for us. And I just praise you and worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.